now I'd like to welcome Liam Prince to the studio. Welcome, Liam.
Kia ora.
So Liam is the, hold on, I have to read the whole list here. You're the chairperson of APPA, the Aotearoa Plastic Pollution Alliance, founding director of The Rubbish Trip, co-founder of the Takeaway Throwaways Campaign, researcher for Zero Waste Network, former lecturer at Massey, and composting manager for Kai Cycle. Did we get everything?
That's right. Yeah, that's about right.
You fit quite a bit into your life. I actually thought you'd be older looking at that long list of things.
Oh, well, you know, it's the gig economy, you know, that my generation is involved in.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll talk about APPA first, because APPA is here for a national hui. Thursday, Friday.
That's right.
So you're in the middle of organising that at the moment, no doubt.
That's right. A few things to prep, but yeah, it's our annual end of year hui. We've done it for the last 2 or 3 years, and we just hop around different parts of the country and come together and talk about plastic.
So obviously, plastic pollution—that's what APPA is. But just tell us a little bit more about the organisation. Like, is it a nationwide organisation?
Yeah.
And sort of, who's involved?
Yeah. So it was set up in, I think, 2018. And I got involved a year or two later. And it's really just an organization that brings together scientists and researchers, activists, educators, businesses, artists, you know, just all sorts of people who are involved in trying to stop plastic pollution, basically, or do something about it. And so we have, we hold events, we have monthly meetings, we advocate for policy change around plastics. So and it's just a really cool way of bringing people from quite different backgrounds who are concerned about this issue together. So this is end of year hui is our kind of our big chance in the year to come together in person. Although we do have the ability for people to join online as well. And just talk about the current issues.
So there'll be like a whole bunch of lectures. Is lecture the right word?
Presentations. We've got four really good sessions, presentation sessions held right here at the town hall. And covering different issues from, you know, some more sort of scientific monitoring and measuring the impacts of plastic pollution, through to things like innovative zero waste and plastic free businesses and community projects. And we're also going to have a session around talking about the global plastics treaty that's being negotiated through the UN at the moment as well.
Right.
And then we're going to have a site tour up to Extreme Zero Waste and check out what they're up to. And then do a beach clean as well on Friday afternoon. With plenty of time in between just to chat and network and get to know some locals and get to know people who are out of town.
Right, cool. So one of the things I was thinking of when you were talking about the things that you guys do, well, the thing that came up here when we had the Plastic Bag Free Raglan project getting underway was, you know, like the first thing they did was research amongst all the local shops and businesses and takeaways and things like that. And the biggest question was always around supply chain issues for alternatives to plastic bags. Is that, like, you can have all the research in the world, but if that stuff doesn't exist, you can't move very far. So is that something that you guys also try to get involved in?
Yeah.
It's not like you can start up a manufacturing plant for paper bags or anything, but, you know, is that still a big deal?
Yeah, well, a lot of our members are, all of our members are experts in particular areas. And so, you know, we have businesses who are trying to do things practically and trying to find alternatives and things like that. And then we have members who are researchers and scientists and advocates and activists who are sort of calling for policy change that will make things easier. Because sometimes, the alternatives just aren't there, or the alternatives that are put up are kind of just false solutions or solving one problem but creating another. We're very much... very much big on that conversation around false solutions. I think the way I like to think about it is it's swapping one single-use thing for another single-use thing is not really a solution.
Yeah.
And it's about trying to find ways of reducing the need to consume resources, so reusable items and things like that. So, and, you know, Raglan's kind of led the way on a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. I think I should have asked too about the 2-day event. Can people who are not members, people who are just hearing about it now, can they come along?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll just ask people to register on our website, which is nzappa.org or nzappa.org. There's all the details there. I'm sure a lot of locals already know Extreme Zero Waste pretty well, so you can, you know, you don't have to come along to all the events. But the presentation sessions, which are Thursday afternoon and Friday morning, and the beach clean on Friday afternoon. Anyone's welcome as long as they register, and so we can, you know, put them down on the list. And
is the schedule on the website too? You can see speaking when.
Yep. We've got. We'll put the program up there, and that's actually a good reminder to put the program up on the website. But we've got that all, and if people register, they'll get that information as well. But we'll make that available, and people can also join online. So if for whatever reason people really want to hear about what's going on, but they can't be here in person, we've got an online option for the presentations.
Okay. Yeah. Now you mentioned the Global Plastics Treaty.
Yeah.
That's in negotiation at the moment. Tell us a little bit about that, because I hadn't heard anything about it.
It's starting to kind of pick up in terms of media coverage and things like that. But so it was in March last year, 2022, where the United Nations Environment Assembly, I think it's called, decided, you know, all the countries came together and said, yeah, we're going to negotiate an agreement to end plastic pollution. It was a big moment, you know, that was agreed. But that was only the start. So they've given themselves about 2.5 years to negotiate an agreement. So it's kind of like the, you know, the climate change agreements that are being, you know, every year we're at COP28 at the moment. The 28th meeting. We haven't even got the agreement to have the first meeting for this for this plastics pollution thing. So it's pretty early days.
With the climate change, there's been a lot of forces out there trying to stop progress on that. Financial reasons. Is that going to happen with plastic? Is it quite the big deal?
It is
profit wise.
So we've just, like, a couple of weeks ago they finished the third negotiation session for this agreement, and unfortunately there were a few particularly fossil fuel producing countries that just really stalled progress. Countries like Saudi Arabia, Iran and Russia, few others who just decided that, you know, plastics are still, unfortunately, a booming industry, particularly for those who produce fossil fuels. And so, I think those countries are just trying to protect their commercial interests.
I'm kind of surprised. I suppose if it stopped suddenly, that would be bad for them. But we've now reached that point with the oil supplies. We're in over demand rather than oversupply. We crossed that point a little while ago. So, getting plastics made of something other than oil actually would be a sensible decision.
I think so, but I think also some of the big oil companies and producing countries are seeing plastics as kind of a backstop for the reduced demand in fossil fuel. So we're going to start using
reduced demand in fossil fuel? I know people are working on it, but the population keeps growing and economies keep growing.
I guess not at the moment. Yeah, we haven't quite got there to reduce the demand. But
nonetheless, they're still trying to protect their interests.
And I think, you know, the calls are growing louder to, we need to phase out fossil fuels, but the calls for, also doing that with plastics is, you know, it's a parallel thing, and it's not quite there yet either.
So all right, they're just seeing danger and they're just fighting against it. Okay, understand. All right, so is New Zealand is our government been doing the right thing?
Well, it's an interesting one.
I know we've just suddenly got a new one, so that
we'll see what happens with this new one. Don't hold out high hopes, but it's interesting because, obviously, countries are involved in this Global Plastics Treaty thing, and I have to say the New Zealand government has been really strong on their positions, you know, calling for pretty ambitious things like, you know, cuts to oil extraction, which will help reduce plastic production and things like, like really calling for, we had to deal with this from the very point at which we pull the oil out of the ground right through to when it escapes into the environment and everything in between. Backing a call for a really strong Indigenous voice as well, which has been really important. There's been an amazing group, the Tangata Whenua Coalition, who APA is connected with, who have been bringing a really strong kaupapa Māori voice to that those negotiations and connecting with other Indigenous peoples. So, and the New Zealand government has been, you know, pretty good at backing that. But that's on the international stage. Locally, I don't think our plastics policy is quite matching the ambition. We've done some good stuff, like, of course, we banned plastic bags, and we've phased out a whole bunch of other hard-to-recycle and single-use plastics, and that's still there's still another tranche of bans to come in 2025.
So is that based on legislation that was passed by the
Previous government
before Chris, because Chris Hipkins he had what they called a policy bonfire.
So that's right. So they canned the container return scheme policy, which was a real shame, because you know that's a really good way of reducing litter, as well as recovering not just plastic bottles and things like that, but cans and
that seemed like such an uncontroversial thing to me.
like
usually, like all the conservative people, like people my age, we all remember you know, doing bottle drives for our schools when we were kids, you know, going around picking up I'd be at like Saturday afternoon sport with the adults, going around looking for bottles to take to the shop and get 10 cents and get some sweets. Like, everyone has kind of nostalgic memories about that, so I would have thought that was incredibly uncontroversial.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right. And
but
you know,
not Chris Hipkins, he was just they're so nervous. Nervous Nellies in the Labour Party.
I reckon. And on that, you know, 97% of the people who submitted on that policy to Parliament supported it to go through. So I don't know why the heck they did that.
Just so nervous. All right, well, it'll come back. I mean, at some point it will come back, because it's just a lot of common sense, and there's
totally. I mean, this new government, you know, there's no reason to believe they won't bring it in.
Which minister would it be? I don't even know who the Minister for the Environment.
The Minister for the Environment is Penny Simmons from the National Party.
Do we know anything about Penny Simmons?
I, to be honest, I hadn't heard about her before.
Me neither.
But yeah, I know. Who knows? I mean, I've heard she's got an interest in wastes and recycling issues. So who knows? She might end up being somewhat favourable to taking some action. But we'll see. It's got to get through cabinet and all that, and all those other guys in there.
All right. So that's all right. So that's kind of the national situation. Is there? I mean, we've had like Raglan's a place where there's little things happening. I don't think we've got anything particularly going on for plastic at the moment. But are there people? What's happening around the country that we might not know about that people are trying to deal with plastic at the moment? I know that's quite a big question, but
Like I said earlier,
projects on the go or something.
Yeah, I think one thing which, like I said earlier, moving away from single use anything, whether it's single use plastics or single use paper and compostables and all that sort of thing, there's a real interest and a drive to get reusable schemes in place, and it's coming both from councils are becoming more interested in it. There's a lot of really awesome innovations in the business world. I mean, here in Raglan, people like Workshop Brewery, the Dreamview milk reusable bottles, and Extreme Zero Waste are really supporting all that sort of thing as well. So there's lots of things like that. There's in the Waikato, amazing milk and kegs business called Kaipaki Dairies, and they're really going big. They're stocking cafes and refill shops all around the country. Keg of milk, yeah.
Oh, right.
So instead of putting it in a bottle that you have to then deal with somehow, send it to some recycler, and it might not even be recycled, it might be sent overseas, you have it in a keg that can just be washed out and refilled. And you have it on a tap, just like you have beer on tap. And you can even put that in a cafe. It's better for the cafe because they don't have to have a half-open bottle of milk that goes off at the end of the day. They have to tip out.
Yeah.
So, it just makes sense. And so there's some really cool stuff which helps to dramatically reduce the amount of plastics and other single-use products that we need. There are some really exciting things happening. It's just about, you know, keeping up that pressure for the government and for the international community to just get behind this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Just a picture globally, like how bad is plastic? Like we sometimes see photos of like the waters full of plastic or then we know also about the microplastics in the ocean.
Yeah.
Like what's the biggest alarm bell ringing in terms of plastic around the world? Is it the microplastics in the ocean?
Yeah, well, it's all of them really. I mean, people know most about big bits of plastic, you know, polluting the ocean, polluting the environment, harming wildlife, kind of never going away. But yeah, the stuff that you can't see is just, if not more, concerning. So not only microplastics, which, you know, there's all sorts of studies coming out about they're just finding microplastics everywhere, from, you know, helping to form rain clouds above mountains to, you know, finding them in human placentas and blood.
So it's broken down so small that it's actually coming up into the earth through evaporative processes or something?
Yeah, or it's just so light, it just kind of gets carried on air currents and things like that. And so that's the you know, those are the physical bits of microplastics. But the other big concern is all of the chemicals that are used in plastic products, which there are tens of thousands of them, really. And we only know, you know, maybe a third of what the harms of those chemicals actually are. And then of that third, there's hardly any of them are actually regulated. And we know that that third of chemicals that are harmful, we know that they're causing human health issues, even just when we're using plastics, not even of the problem of it getting into the environment. It's like when you drink from a plastic bottle, you know, there are chemicals in there that are causing, and it's just it's accumulating, and we're just exposed every single day to so many of these chemicals. So that's another huge concern.
I'm
just going to say that's a really big focus in the Global Plastics Treaty, is actually not just regulating the plastic products, but actually the chemicals that are used in them too.
Right, because there are some plastics that are worse than others, basically. And if you're going to make plastic, make the good stuff.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know if the good stuff's quite the phrase I'm looking for. But,
well, we just need to really restrict the types of plastics, the types of chemicals, and the types of uses we use those plastics for. Definitely.
Have you tried to go on the personal journey of eradicating plastic for your life? I was like just scanning you now to see like,
the plastic.
Well, you are wearing glasses.
Yeah. I mean, not to the kind of extreme, but really how I got into this whole space was through the Rubbish Trip, which is one of the other hats I wear, and that's me and my partner Hannah. We decided to live without a rubbish bin back in 2015, and that just kind of swept us away down a big journey.
That's an interesting thing. That's a way to apply some pressure to yourself.
Yeah, that's right. And it was a great kind of creative boundary in a way. You know, like if you put limitations on yourself, you have to find a way around it, and you get really creative. And actually, it was a really yeah, it was just a great process, and we really enjoyed it. And we noticed we were saving money and you know, connecting with people in different ways, learning skills. And so we just haven't looked back, really. So, yeah, we've been 8 years without a rubbish bin. And doesn't mean there's literally zero waste in our life. You know, we do live in an extremely wasteful world. So still comes in, but like much reduced.
Like we've had people here who have tried the plastic-free year and still... there must be, like, I'm just thinking there must be something you don't know what to do with that needs to go in a bin. Like, what are you going to the neighbours and like sneakily put it in?
We've got our closet of rubbish.
You go around to the house, open a closet, and all this rubbish falls out.
Like I say, there's still some rubbish. We recently moved out of a place we live in, Wellington, and we had to kind of sort through some stuff that hadn't kind of found a place, and we had we weighed it. I think it was something like 400 grams worth of stuff. There's no other thing but to send it to landfill.
That's not a lot,
but it's not a lot. You know, no. It's mostly plastics, soft plastics, stickers. Medicine packets. You know, like there's just a few things that are. At the moment, we just haven't found an alternative. So
those are plastics that are not recyclable plastics.
No, that's right.
Okay, all right. So that became the plastic trip.
The rubbish trip.
Get it right, Aaron. It's exactly wrong. So you did that yourself, but then something grew from that?
Well, so it was just a personal thing to start with, and then we decided to do a public talk. We were finding it really hard to talk to people about, like, how our lives were different once we had gotten rid of a rubbish bin. So we decided we'll do this public talk, and people can come because they actually want to hear us talk about it rather than us ranting at our friends and family. And we had 200 people turn up to our first ever talk, and it was obvious that there was a huge level of interest in this topic. So we actually decided we keep doing talks, and then it just became the thing we did, and we quit our jobs. We left Wellington, and we decided to travel around New Zealand. So that's the trip part of the rubbish trip.
Yeah.
We traveled around New Zealand for nearly 3 years, and we did presentations and workshops all over the country about zero waste living and why and how we live zero waste.
How did you afford to live?
Yeah, well, we had a $20 a day budget between the two of us, which is not much, but that was just mainly for transport and food. We were hosted by people everywhere we went, which was amazing. So no accommodation costs. And yeah, it was pretty low budget lifestyle, but it was really, we met so many amazing people and just had amazing experiences. So
did you?
It was great.
Is there a record of these activities anywhere?
Yep.
Did you social media?
Website, anything? The Rubbish Trip. Yep, we're on Facebook, Instagram. We've got our website, therubbishtrip.co.nz. We try to provide people resources to help them reduce waste. So one of the big things we did, it's a little bit out of date, but we're still up there as a zero waste shopping guide for everywhere we traveled in New Zealand. So yeah. Where you can find groceries and cleaning products and whatever, bathroom products, zero waste. So yeah, we've got lots of businesses out there who are providing those options.
Okay. I want to talk about all the things on the list. The Takeaway Throwaways campaign, what is that?
Yeah, so that is a campaign calling for the government basically to ban single-use serviceware. So that's your takeaway coffee cups, containers, cutlery, all that sort of thing. And at the same time, you know, okay, we take something away, but providing the alternative, which is those reusable systems in their place. So we're not just talking about people bringing their own keep cups and whatnot, but actually providing an alternative, a reusable alternative that makes it just as easy as the single use option. So things like the again system, where you can borrow a cup, or they've just rolled it out for some breweries around the country. So you can borrow a flagon, fill up your beer at a local brewery, and then return that flagon to them, and they wash it and make it ready for the next person.
Okay, is there like what Dreamview does is, if you buy the bottle, you bind the bottle as well, the bottle of milk, you bind the physical bottle.
Yeah.
And then you can swap it, and if you forget your bottle to swap it, you just buy another bottle and try and get the other one back later.
Yeah, totally.
I know there's people building up bottles at their place. Every now and again, Dreamview puts a thing out on social media saying, can you guys return
your bottles,
please?
So similar thing really, but takeaway throwaways, we're just talking about for takeaways, particularly packaging. But the same principle really,
Now, some people are living off their takeaway packaging, so... Yeah. I mean, that's actually a challenge, because there's, I guess, do you worry about paper bags, if people are getting a pie in a paper bag?
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you know, paper still requires resources, it requires trees to be cut down, it requires a huge amount of water and chemicals to make paper, so it's still resource intensive.
But there must be other things that are more of a deal about takeaway packaging than paper bags.
Things you'd like
to see got rid of sooner than paper bags.
Yeah, yes, and particularly I think a lot of compostable packaging is a real, not just a grey area, but, you know, a bit of a red flag in some ways, because paper's been around for a while. We kind of know how it works and how to make it and stuff, but a lot of compostable products, they're very new, they've got all these new innovative, designs and chemicals that... it's particularly the ones that are made of plastic, but even then, the ones that don't have any plastic in them, they've got to have something that helps to keep the water and the grease from, you know, disintegrating the bowl while you're eating something. So they add stuff like the stuff called PFAS, P-F-A-S, which is highly toxic, never breaks down, and we think it's a good idea to put into takeaway packaging that's going to go in a compost.
So you'd put it in the compost, the actual biodegradable bits would break down, and you're left with those chemicals.
Yeah, yeah. You can't see them either, so, you know, like, and you can't get them out once it's in the soil.
This is the challenge. Like, it's really hard as a consumer to know when you go somewhere what you're getting that's good, but basically for the Greenway system that Extreme has, you pretty much, you don't put anything in.
Yep.
That's except actual food matter.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's awesome. Like, I think, actually the Ministry for the Environment, New Zealand government, has made it clear that when they want to make it mandatory for these kind of food scraps and green waste collections to happen around the country. And they've said, no packaging, not even paper and cardboard is going to be allowed in these collections because of these reasons. We just don't know what sort of chemicals and things are in these products. So I think composters like what Extreme are doing, you know, I think that's the right way to go, is just say no to it.
Yeah, it's the only practical way, because they have, I mean, their compost is certified. It has to meet certain standards, which everyone understands. So, you can't put just anything in it.
Yep.
Unlike your home, there might be stuff you put in your home compost. But are there biodegradable takeaway containers, plates and things, do they exist that actually work?
Well, it's actually a really hard question to answer. In terms of, by, you know, do they work? Yes, some of them break down and disappear, but like I said before, you don't know what residues, chemical residues, you're left with.
But surely someone hasn't someone tried to make one that's...
Yeah, and I'm sure there are people who are trying really hard. One of the big issues we have is there's just no regulation of this stuff. So
yeah,
companies don't have to say what ingredients they use in their packaging, so they could be using all sorts of dodgy stuff, and there's no requirement for them to tell you what's in there. There's no requirement for you know, what compostable even means. You know, there are certifications out there, which is probably the best way you can tell at the moment. So there's international kind of labs that test the degradability of different products. That's kind of the closest we can get to knowing something is okay. But even then, they have all these kind of little exemptions. And the innovation around chemicals and packaging is just way outstripping the ability to test and regulate them and know actually the long-term impact of them. So, and even if we just forget the chemicals part of it, compostable packaging, it's still single use. You know, it still requires growing, I don't know, say corn, all the fossil fuels that are required and the harm to the land that's required to grow that corn to then process it and add chemicals and ship it around the world. You know, it's hugely energy intensive to use something that just once and then chuck it out. So
it's that convenience factor that you're really pushing against it. That's the challenge.
Yeah,
I
totally.
Think at the moment, I would imagine that a takeaway is better off getting something with a number one plastic. If they're going to do takeaway containers, one off use, at least that can be, we know that can be recycled. There's a process for it.
Yeah, but yes, that's right. But if it's food,
I'm not saying it's ideal.
Yeah,
right?
No. But then there's like things like if it's food contaminated, it can't take hot liquid, so it's no good for coffees and whatnot. So yeah, there really isn't like an ideal option at the moment, which is why there's such a push for reusables and just quite radically transforming the way we do this stuff.
Okay, we're sort of running out of time. Maybe we'll just jump to what's happening Thursday night, which is our regular science night, except it's not the regular one because it's normally Wednesdays, but this one's on Thursday. It's out the back at the Harbourview Hotel. You're going to be like the host for the panel discussion.
Yep.
So do you have plans for where this is, how this is going to work?
Oh, not too much, to be honest. I mean, there's an amazing group of local legends in the zero waste and kind of climate space on the panel. So, you know, Jackie Forbes from Parakore, Rachel Goddard from the council, Rick Thorpe from Extreme or X-Extreme, Jess Hill from Dreamview and Jasmine from the Environment Centre here. So just going to be a great chance to chat about, because it's really about the Aotearoa Plastic Pollution Alliance and us being here, focus on plastics and talk about, you know, how each of these amazing people kind of deal with plastics or how they grapple with the issue in their own work. I don't know, maybe a bit about how what they've learnt, you know, what science has taught us about the impact of plastics and how that informs their work. But yeah, we'll probably just have a bit of a back and forth and a discussion and take questions from the audience. And
I imagine with the level of knowledge you have, you wouldn't need to plan anything. You could just sit there and immediately you'll have questions that you want to ask them.
And I think it's nice not to plan it too much because you don't know what we're going to bounce off each other. And
you're taking questions from the floor?
Yeah, we'll probably, yeah.
There'll be a lot of expertise in the crowd tonight if the participants of the Upper Hui come along.
Yeah, definitely.
Did I say tonight? Sorry, I meant
tomorrow
to say
night.
Thursday night.
Yeah. Thursday night. Yeah.
Although this interview will get replayed at 6:30 on Thursday morning, so if you're listening at 6:30, get home and you're going to Hamilton for a week, it's time for you to get back to the Harbour View at 6 for the science night. And there was one other thing I wanted to ask about too was, just Tetra Paks, there is, I know that those people are trying to basically pretend that Tetra Paks can be converted into a building material.
Yep.
And I'm hearing from people at Extreme that, and I used to work in the building industry, and I know that there's plastics on Tetra Paks, and if they're not UV treated, you can't use them outside.
Mm.
That's a non-starter. Within a year, there'll be flakes probably sooner. I mean, is that... Do you have any comments about that at all?
I have heard a few issues with those the wall product that they produce, yeah. And not kind of standing up to environmental conditions. But again, I think it's kind of like, it's not really, they call it recycling, but it's an example of downcycling, where you're not actually turning that product back into the same product. So there's no reduction on the need to go back to mine all those resources, cut down all those trees, make all that plastic, make all that aluminium to put into new products. So it's not really solving the core issue. It's almost justifying, you know, us continuing to make and consume those products.
Well, that's what they need, isn't it? Because that's their whole business.
Yeah.
Their whole business is making something that's not sustainable.
Yeah.
So they either give up and go home.
Yep.
Or they keep fighting, and I guess that's where we are.
Yeah, totally. And again, I'll just come back to, you know, they say they're the most low-carbon alternative of all the single-use products, but they're not comparing themselves to reusables. You know, we should be shifting all of the stuff to reusables. It's really the only way we're going to deal with those.
So their boast is that they're the best of a bad bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Tetra Pak. You're marvelous. Like having worked in the building industry, like if you're making, it'd have to be an interior lining. They have to meet building standards. You'll have to be able to prove that it actually has an engineering capacity for working as a diaphragm on the wall. Like, and then how do you finish it? How do you paint it? Does it need plant? It's just like having worked in the building industry, it's just such a...
Yeah,
I don't know where that's going to go. But I guess at the moment it's doing some greenwashing for them.
I suppose so, yeah. I mean, I can't comment on I've got no expertise in that building space, but yeah, I mean...
Those are just questions I have immediately off the top of my head, like, how's that going to work?
Yeah, and I mean, there's other examples out there, you know, those fence posts that are being made from soft plastics and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, how much...
They actually seem more useful than those wall boards would be.
Yep, in terms of the use,
but they're still...
Yeah, what are they leaching, you know, the microplastics, the chemicals, you know, I don't know how well tested that stuff is, so it's a big, raises alarm bells for me.
And it's a one-use, or can they be re...
They say they can take them back and recycle them, but again, it's not really recycling the product, the feedstock product, the soft plastics, because we just got to make more soft plastics.
But it's also a plastic sitting in the sun.
Yeah.
This is the thing people got to understand, is that the UV rays will destroy plastic, even the stuff, and most plastic used in the building industry is UV treated, and even drainage pipes which go under the ground are UV treated. So, they do not. I mean, we all know we've got plastic spouting; it only lasts a couple of decades,
and then
it's falling apart. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, they do say those fence posts they use UV treatment, but
they're still not going to last, and they're not going to be recyclable because they will have been degraded anyway.
Yeah.
Over the longer term.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to depress people, but you can go to the upper Hui. Just remind people what's happening, and if they want to hook up to that, how to do that.
Yep. So check out the website nzappa.org. We've got a registration form there, but we're going to go for a tour of Extreme Zero Waste on Thursday morning. Have a bunch of presentations Thursday afternoon. We've got the science night on Thursday evening. More presentations Friday and a beach cleanup. So we'll put the program up there so people can check it out in more detail. And we'd love to see you there.
All right, Liam, thanks for coming in.
Cool. Cheers.
Okay, folks, we are going to go for a little ad break. And maybe Marie's hanging around outside. Not quite sure where she's got to, but we were doing our Let's Talk segment with her after this.